Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, the soul in sports. People, I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed I spell my name with not one, not two, but three X's, because I am hardcore, people. And as always, first, the particulars. The number to call in, 347-637-3859. Listen, people, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and simply I wear it this way. Today, we will break down this Wilder versus Fury fight. We will talk about this title decision. We will talk about the draw. We will talk about did the judge get it right, or the judges, did they get it right? Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, it's about that time, people. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles takes on the host station's Washington Redskins tonight in a rivalry that should only be talked about in the NFC East. And we'll talk about it right here, right now. Who will stay alive in the playoff race between the Redskins and the Eagles? Also, the week in wrestling keeps turning and turning, and as the world turns, keeps turning. And also, people, best and worst of the weekend is here. Again, I am your host, Mike Knox. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free. By my namesake, I am loud, I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, if she's not getting loud, that's on you. Also, make sure you follow the station, give them an identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, wherever social media is. So while you're there, people, make sure you download this podcast. You can find it anywhere, podcasts or so, which, guess what, people? You know what? You already know. Podcasts are free. Google Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn app. It don't matter. If you got a phone and you got a mobile device, you can listen to the golden pipes that are blessed before you right now, people, by Mike Knox and the crew. Like I said, today, we have a lot to talk about, people. A lot went on this weekend. A lot we shall talk about that went on this weekend. And frankly, I got a lot of things to say. I have a lot of things to say about this fight. I got a lot of things to say about the Philadelphia Eagles. Four reasons why the Eagles shall win tonight. Four. Not one. Not two. Not three. Now, if I'm not LeBron, I'm better. But four reasons why. But also, welcome to the program live from the city of Brotherly Love, the intelligent Twist Radio. New Twist Radio is in the building. What's going on, Jay Chris? I
know. What's going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on, man. Ankle tendonitis is going on. It's the worst. That's my worst of the weekend already. I'm already putting that out there. Ankle tendonitis is the worst right now. I hate it. What's going on?
I'm doing fine. We got a big game tonight, and we got a big fight to talk about from this weekend, brothers, because I see things differently. I can see clearly now. The rain is pouring, right? Something like that, right? You get this. You get my drift. I can see it. I see the future. I'm going to tell you why this decision was the right decision. But also, welcome to the program live from the DMV. We know his black ass better have some ID because, yeah, well, he's black in America, so he will lock his black ass up. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, everybody, man? I'm glad to be back.
Glad to be back. The A-team is in the building. Guys, so as you guys are fellow boxing aficionados, I've been in debate all weekend long, as you would already know. And see, they see me tight. They don't hear me talk. And you guys, you know, Jake, Chris, know me a little bit longer than you. While, you know, I don't really type too much where it makes sense sometimes, right? Like, I'm not the greatest spell, and I hate text, so I kind of, like, beat around what I'm trying to say, or, you know, and hope somebody can catch what I'm putting down. But I have never, on this program, on this station, on the BDSR Network, episode 1992, on our way to 2008 episodes away, bet that, I have never said that Deontay Wilder was a better boxer than Anthony Joshua. I've just maintained my belief and my fandom. That's a new one. My fandom, fanatic, short for fan, or fan and short for fanatic. I like Deontay Wilder better. I'm a man of many words. One in which is, I go for all American fighters in the heavyweight division. I've said it. I'm not afraid. Especially if you're African American. In the words, I like to say black. So, I went for Deontay Wilder. I still think Deontay Wilder won this fight.
You know, he went on the road to beat Vladimir Klitschko in a fight. He was a 6-1 underdog. Here he is on the road against Deontay Wilder, looking for all the world like he's pulling another upset.
There's a right cross that lands for Fury.
You this question. Is this about the draw, or is this about the one incompetent judge that had Deontay Wilder up by 7 rounds? Because I would start there before I thought the biggest conspiracy theory. Shout out to Shad Gaspar, formerly of Crime Time of the WWE, actor phenomenon, friend of the program, retweeting and talking to me about this, because I felt it. So when, you know, you have conversations with other people that feel what you're going through, you ride it even more. Where was the 10 count? Deontay Wilder should be the one being playing complaint because he was the one that got robbed. It was 10. I've watched boxing for over 35 years. And every time I see somebody hit the ground, and they get up by 8 or number 9, it's automatically the Evan number comes up because they're getting up to that number still count, and that's 10. But not this time. He had him get up at 10. He got up at 10. Then he said, walk, come back to me, walk again. Give me a break. Deontay Wilder was robbed in this fight. Let me calm it down a little bit. I'll bring it back in. I like to go fishing. I ain't been in a long time since my days in Oklahoma with my father. I like fishing. I can be calm. I can be patient. I did have the fight scored 114-113 in favor of Tyson Fury. But boxing and judging boxing, more than any sport, fellas, is like watching comedy. It's subjective. My wife watches stand-up comedians all the time. And no matter how many times I've seen them, yes, I love them. They're funny. I can't watch them 10 times. But she can watch Run Tell That. She can watch Eddie Murphy's Raw and Kings of Comedy 50 times a week. It's subjective. I thought Tag was one of the funniest comedies of the year. Some people hated it. It's subjective. So is counting, boxing, judging, I'm sorry, if you will, so to speak, in boxing. I start with you, Jay Chris. Is it the judges, or should Deontay Wilder be complaining about he got robbed? Or is it the judge? Or is it the draw? I'm sorry. Is it the draw? Is it the judge that was on crack by having Deontay by 7 rounds? Or does Deontay have a gripe here for being robbed of his time?
First of all, I couldn't count 7 rounds Deontay Wilder won. I can't do it. I might be able to give him 2 rounds. I might be able to give him 1 round outside of the rounds where he scored knockdown.
Really?
Okay. I might be able to give him 1.
Yeah.
I agree. But, you know, the draw was ridiculous.
I had it even up until round 5. And that
I don't know.
To
I,
me,
I don't. Like you said, it's subjective because I didn't.
I had round 1 to Fury. I had round 2 to Deontay. I had round 3 to Fury. Round 4 to Deontay. Then I gave 5. Then I gave 5 to Fury. Oh. I gave 6 to Fury. I gave 7 to Fury. Then the knockdown in 8 took 2 of those rounds back. And I gave them not 9. I gave Deontay 2, 4, the 8th and the 10th round, including the 12th. And to me, that's the draw that the referee took. And that still scores it 114-113.
I gave Deontay Wilder the second round. He didn't score. He didn't win another round to the knockdown.
Wow.
He just didn't. He was getting dominated. I'm playing this him. And I'm a fan, but he was getting dominated.
The word dominated.
He was getting outboxed by a pugilist specialist, which I was calling Tyson Fury last week.
Spell that for me. Go ahead. Pugilist specialist. I think I pronounced.
I'm gonna have to ask Google to spell that. But
ask Google.
But here's the thing: if you score the fight, people that think Deontay Wilder won the fight outside of the knock outside of the 10 count are scoring the fight off of street rules. Yeah, you got
street
shot
rules.
Twice. You lost the fight.
Sorry, are you disrespecting my boxing knowledge? Street
now,
rules.
Now let me talk about the knockdown. The 10 count. I watched. Mm-hmm. You told me to look at it, and I did just that because I wanted to see. I watched it 10 times last night and never reached a 10 count.
So
never reached the 10 count.
So when in boxing before, have you seen a guy who's unconscious to the count of 6? Get up off the mat at 9, and that don't be 10. Tell me what fight you've ever seen that happen.
This is how I'm going to answer that. Anytime somebody is laid on the mat the way Tyson Fury was laid on the mat, it's never been counted. It's never been a count. The ref automatically says
knockout. Okay, because he was unconscious
right.
For 6 seconds.
But
Jesus,
I'm sure you watched the press conference where the referee said to them before the fight, I'm counting. I'm not calling the fight unless it's bad. I'm going to count, and I'm going to give you a chance to get up and fight. And in that situation, I think the ref did an awesome job, to be honest.
No, let me go back.
I think the referee did
me.
Exactly what he was supposed to do in a championship fight, especially in that 12th round.
You think that was pre-talked about, or are you saying if that was pre-talked about?
Absolutely. I do. Absolutely, think it was talked about because the referee goes in the locker rooms and he explains, you know, things in each locker room before the fight to each camp before the fight. And I absolutely think that was talked about that, you know, because this referee in his track record, he's not quick on the draw to count, call the fight over in championship fights. He's just not. And that's how it really should be. If you're quick to call something done in a championship fight, that's no good. That's not what the people are looking for. All right, you know, it just is what it is. I never reached 10. Maybe you did. Maybe others did. I never reached 10 on the count.
I didn't reach 10. Phrase that. I didn't reach 10. Excuse me. And as you can see in the video that you watched 10 times, I myself watched it a number of times as well. He got up at 9. Like literally at 9, and I'm asking you, and I'm asking the question to boxer fans, okay? And a smidgen of this is, of course, I want Deontay to win. Technically, he didn't win the fight. He didn't lose the fight either. And as a public opinion, he lost the fight, but officially, okay, it's a draw. So I'm asking, from boxing, from your history in watching boxing, and I'm loading this a question up to you as well, Wally, when we get done with Jay Chris here. When have you seen a fight at 9, the guy gets off the mat, but the referee doesn't end the match at that point? Because I've seen it 1,000 times, and I've watched that much boxing in my life that I've seen it that many times. So I am having a little bit of understanding here of how that fight was not over.
Well, if I can take it, then while it might be, most times when that happens, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've seen it, and you know, I can't disagree with what you're saying. Most times when that happens, you can look at the fighter and tell he doesn't even really want to get up.
That exactly. I agree with.
He doesn't want to get up.
That I agree with. He did like he completely had his word,
there was no issue. Tyson Fury got up like there was no issue.
Something was wrong with him.
It was definitely different. It was definitely different.
No, I agree with Watt. Like you look at it with when he got up. I mean, after once he the referee looked at him, he wasn't wobbling. He was straight. Like he looked like he knew what was going on. That's the difference. Usually, when people are knocked down for that long and they getting up, they wobbling. You can tell. You look at him, you're like, oh, it's over. Like stop it there. Like he had his senses. You know what I mean? So that's how I looked at it. I know when he went down, I was like, it's over. It's a wrap. I was like, it's done. That was done. I was like, he's out. You know what I mean? I was like really disappointed in Beyonce.
I screamed too. I said, he's not getting up.
Yeah, I screamed. I said, yes, thank you. Like, you know, I want Anthony Joshua Deontay. I want that now. You know what I mean? So
right.
when it happened,
and we're not
going
to get that now. We're going to rematch.
You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, but you know, when he got up, I was like, oh, shoot, he got up. I was like, how you get so fast? And then I'm looking at
I screamed then too.
All right, and then you're thinking that he's about to finish him off. Yeah, but then
Deontay's face looked like
off.
The return of Tate.
Yeah.
It was a whole WWE moment. It was a whole WWE moment.
Yeah, but the amazing thing off of that alone is that even in that round, after when he got up, he was still boxing. Like Fury was still boxing. Like it wasn't like he was
outside of that
like,
night.
Right.
Fury won that round.
Yeah.
Hold on now. No, stop now. Don't get me wrong. As we've seen with Deontay Wilder, right, and one of the problems we've had with him, we've addressed with him on this program, the wildness and the lack of defense, okay, that showed, including the round in the 8th round when he knocked him down and he got up. He probably won that round, I think. He did win that one. I don't think he necessarily really won that 12 once he got up other than the two big punches that landed. Deontay still landed some big shots, like especially right after the break. I'm surprised at that moment also it wasn't stopped because Deontay hit him with like 3 straight big bombs and then he went back to the bobbing. Go ahead.
No, I disagree. I thought that Fury showed you that he can take the like he was taking punches and he was fighting. He was throwing back. You can't stop with somebody throwing back. Like Fury was throwing back. Like that's how I looked at it. He was throwing back. I was surprised he was able to throw back. That's how I looked at it. Like he shouldn't be able to throw back. I was like, dude, you're done. I'll be honest with you. Like, I disrespected Fury throughout the whole process. I thought he was like, this is a sham, a mockery of boxing. After watching that fight, I got more respect for that dude than I've ever had in my life. Like, I literally had people from, like, Europe telling me that Wally, he's going to beat Wilder. I was like, man, you bugging. Like, you on drugs. Like, you just loving your guy. Like,
because they were
from
the UK. Because they were UK fans.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. And, like, you're not.
And
like,
I agree.
Bugging. Like, there's no way. And after watching this fight, and this down, and like Watt said, like, honestly, and again, you look at a guy who was rooting for Wilder. I had him winning only the second round other than knockouts. I had him winning only the second round.
Let's take this right here. Let's take this right here. All right. So we got the judges' scorecards, the official judges' cards, right? So we got Phillip Edwards had round one Deontay. He had round two Fury. Round three through four through five, all Fury. Then he had 6 Deontay, 7 Deontay, right? Then he gave, which is weird, according to the scorecards, right? In round 8, he scored it a 10-8, a 10-9 round and gave that round to Fury.
That's a knockdown, right?
So it looks like it's right because the first knockdown was in round 8. But okay, but maybe let me start round. Nine. It was round nine. I'm sorry, it's round nine. So he got, so he gave the eighth to Fury, the ten, then the 10-8, and then he had 10-11 for Fury, and then round 12, which made the 113-113. Then we had the other judge who gave it to. Then we had Robert Tapper, who also gave Wilder the first round. All three judges gave Wilder the first round, which I didn't.
See, this is my thing. All right, so this is my thing about how they judge, like the judges and whatnot. So this is like, you know, it's suspect. This is when you know it's suspect. Like, how long did they take? It took them to have. No, seriously. How long did it take for them to come to a decision? It took like a while, right? So I went, like, it's funny because I was watching my brother and a couple of friends. He was like, oh, they took a while.
It did take a while. It did.
My brother was talking to me, and he was like, yo, you know what they're doing. They're talking amongst each other about their cars. Like, they're getting themselves, they're getting it situated.
Wrong. And I've been at boxing matches before. They sit on three different sides.
Oh, I think they was getting that thing situated, man. They was getting that thing situated.
It's just very strange that fight. The way they had them, that fight, so they all had the first round for Wilder, obviously dominated in that first round.
Here's both judges. These two, Robert Tapper and Philip Edwards. They had round one both for Wilder, and then round two through round six, Tapper had Fury, but in round six. The round I also gave back to Deontay. No, I gave that round. I'm sorry, to Fury, because I got my proof on Twitter as well. He gave that six to Wilder. Now here go the judges' scorecard. They've got everybody, you know, thongs in their arse. Rounds one through four were all Deontay Wilder.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
He had five,
seven.
But see,
when y'all say that, I gave Deontay 2-4.
It's 115 and 111, right? He did 115.
But here's the question I want to ask anybody who gave Wilder any rounds outside of the knockdown rounds and round two. Did you give him those rounds because he dominated the rounds, or did you give him the rounds because he didn't look as bad as he did in the other rounds?
Here's my judging in the first five rounds, right? I felt as outside of the first round. With exception, I didn't think neither fighter did a damn thing until round five. To be honest, I thought it was one of them rounds you can go by who is the most aggressor. And I have a clip on the play if you guys did not get a chance to watch the ESPN's first take this morning, where and it made me think as watching this, and why I brought the audio courtesy of ESPN today, is Wilder, even in this fight, even being outboxed. Even being guy who's not the technician of Fury showed, he was the aggressor. And he made a comparison to, I haven't seen nobody, and we talked about this, Jay, Chris, you and myself amongst, you know, private conversation, being so light, or Friday show. You know, 212 pounds? He's given up 30-something pounds to super heavyweights. Like, we haven't seen heavyweights this big in our lifetime. We've seen heavyweights here and there, but everybody's effing big. You know what I mean? And here go Deontay Wilder. You could say that he did chase him the entire fight. And I think if you're a judge and you're watching that, like I was watching it, I didn't watch it from the eye. Of course I want Deontay Wilder to win the fight. He's friend of the program. I've been saying this since we had King Mo. I'm dying to have a world champion be friend of the program, an active person. Yeah, we have our legends, but we need some active stars. You know what I mean? So of course I want Deontay to win, not just because of, you know, I'm loving him as an American heavyweight title fighter and the most recognizable champion in the WBC. People fail to understand that he has the most recognizable of all the heavyweight titles, the one that's synonymous with guys like Ali and Frazier and these guys. So before it became all the other factions that, you know, this is the number one heavyweight title, and it has not been stuck and hidden over in the UK for the last 8-10 years. Because one guy. So watching this fight from that perspective, being the aggressor, I can see why those rounds. Now, like I said, the three in a row, I'm not seeing that. But again, that's his perspective. I don't agree with the card, 116-111.
Are you still giving him them rounds because he's the aggressor, but he was missing punches?
I do. Because
I mean, he was getting caught, but he was missing punches. So caught. How can you really?
I don't think, with the exception of round four. I mean, not four. I'm sorry. I apologize. Round five and round six, where he literally was not hitting Fury at all. I did think that a couple of jabs. You have to understand, this is like when you're watching, when I watch this fight, and again, not the greatest technician in Deontay Wilder, okay? But I hate when people say Floyd slap boxes, right? Oh, he's just tapping them. Well, whether you think he does or he doesn't, yeah. he's getting points, right? Whether if he touches them, yeah. that's a point. So there were times where the jab yeah. may not have been effective, and he definitely was missing with the right hand all the time. And Fury was doing a great job with his combos. Yes, I thought he was the more aggressive fighter in some of those rounds until round five.
I'm glad you mentioned Floyd, though. I'm glad you mentioned Floyd. Because you want because to be honest, in my opinion, Fury was more Floyd in those rounds than Fury. I mean, than Wilder. Fury was more Floyd. To be honest with you, if you're going to use that argument, Fury was more Floyd. Like he was the one hitting little shots and moving. Like it was pretty much
he was. Good way to come back again. That's at Urban Sports Scene on Twitter, y'all. Wally Wild right here. I agree with you. He was definitely doing the two piece or two and then throw the right or throw the slap punch and then duck and move. He definitely was doing Floyd-esque in that match. And this match. And this is again one of the problems we've openly said about Deontay. I still think Wally. A lot has to be said about somebody who was the smaller guy. He's the only guy in this division. Okay, let's take out of for the situation of, whether he won the fight or not. Right, I'm going to the image that he shows to me. Right, he's not afraid, and he has heart.
No, he's not.
And he's taking the punch. I think Jay Chris, you said it. It was definitely a boxer versus a brawler, and boxing is going to win every time. Yeah. We've always talked about that. Goes back to my line with Max. I forget his name from UFC. He said he beat Horace Gracie with just flat-out All-American wrestling. You know what I mean? His name eludes me right now, but the guy who first beat Horace Gracie back in the UFC. But and that's what I get from Wilder. I did think he was more aggressive in his fight. Yes, he was missing, and yes, he was trying to load the right hand that never seemed to connect until round eight, which, again, if you want to talk about the 12th round, why didn't he knock him out? Because it wasn't the right hand. It wasn't there. If that would have been the right hand that hit him, he might have been going to the hospital. We hope and prayers go out to Adonis Stevenson, which is shocking. It happened early night. He's in a medical coma from getting beat in boxing so much. Again, why'd you stop boxing matches? Because I watched that match, and damn it, that match should have been stopped. Okay? So I think Deontay Wilder was robbed in his fight. And not to mention, I can admit on my card, I had Fury winning the fight. But I cannot, and nor was I upset, nor shocked that there was a draw. I was not shocked it was a draw. And I said this also.
No,
if this fight was in the UK, he'd have lost. And how many fights have we seen in other countries
Let me say something about that, though. Let me say something about if it was in the UK. Because, yes, it was in the United States. But if I remember correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, none of the judges were from the United States.
Let me go back.
I believe it was like Canada, Mexico, and somewhere else. Maybe the United Kingdom. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. It was Canada, Mexico, and the UK. Absolutely.
So, but and the thing about him being smaller, that means nothing to me. I mean, it means something to me as far as heart is concerned, but as far as scoring a fight, that means nothing to me. Because he got
the fight.
Player got hurt on the field, and
it's
football is a violent sport. That's what he signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing, he's a lighter heavyweight.
Did you score the fight?
Huh?
Did you score the fight?
Me?
Yes. What was your two?
I didn't score the fight. I never score fights, but didn't score the fight. But I did give Deontay Wilder the second round and the two rounds that he dropped.
Yes,
period.
You had 115. That's the score you
had.
You had the same score the judge just in reverse. And that's what Jay Chris's would have been.
That's what I had.
In that 115-111. Again, I had it 114-113. More closer to Philip Edwards.
For the people that thought that Wilder won the fight, I would want to know if they thought. Yeah, I know you don't think he won. You didn't even have him win on your card. But I would wonder if they thought that Wilder needed to knock Fury out to win the fight. Because that's what I thought.
I thought that. I thought that too. I sat here, and that's why when he knocked him out, my wife was sleeping. She never can make a long night pay per view fight out there. I jumped up and I screamed, and I was like, you gotta knock him out. Like, she woke up a few times. I'm like, babe, he's gonna lose this fight if he doesn't knock him out. Like, when round eight happened, at that point I was saying he's gonna have to knock him out at round eight, because I saw the numbers going, you know, going, and I saw him not winning. And like I said, I didn't have him in another round for four more rounds until round eight. At that point, Fury was walking away with it, in my opinion, by doing the Floyd Mayweather style as bunch. I say this much also, if they're trying to love Deontay, right, the boxing commission, because clearly they only do this for guys they want to be champions, right? Yeah, let's be real, they want them.
Because this is where the money is. Yeah, you
where the money
to have
is.
United States.
Yeah,
Deontay. So I say this much: he definitely needs to bring in older guys in the business, like Fury did, and like how we know Anthony Joshua is. And I've said this for a while, and this is taken up from this team. I know people, you grow up with people and they teach you things. You don't want to leave them, things like that. I have said on record, his defense is lacking. I mean, we asked him that question, Jay Chris. He said to me, everybody talks about my defense, they don't talk about my power. He kind of like danced around, you know, that question. Like, well, I don't need to have defense if I'm hitting you, right? And I'm like, well, you kind of do. You know what I mean? Because clearly when he had that fight in the 12th round one, some of you guys feel that Fury came back and stole that round even then. And maybe that could have been a 10-9 round with the knockout. I'm just going to keep my conspiracy going that there's no way in hell other than Jesus Christ and the Undertaker himself having him rise from the dead did he get up off that mat, because he was unconscious for the first 5 seconds. Like, he was just sitting there with his eyes closed. the fight was over.
You know, I didn't think his eyes were closed. I thought his eyes were like spaced. I thought he was spaced out. I thought he was done.
I thought
because he got hit with the one shot. Then he got hit with another shot going down, and then he hit his head on the mat. I thought he was.
Right,
I thought it was over.
No, actually,
I thought he was spaced out.
Actually, he didn't. That's what saved him. Like, if he hit his head on the mat,
woke him back up.
If he had bounced, it would have been a wrap.
It bounced him back up. I like it.
Maybe.
Hit your boxing right there. Show your boxing prowess. So I'm going to ask this question before we get up out of here and talk about the rematch and talk about tonight's Monday night game. Probably cutting out a little bit earlier. Jay Chris has some things he has to do. I want to send blessings out to the Clark family, my wife, and them, as we were struck with the loss of our great-grandmother, my wife's grandmother. So my blessings and my prayers, and I'm going to ask you guys to send your prayers and blessings
to the
Clark. I put this in a Facebook post, and I'm going to say it again here because everybody knows I do wear my heart on my sleeve. When people thought I was not good enough for my wife, she welcomed me into that family and knew that I would be a good husband and a good father. And so she was always there for me when I lost my grandmother, stepping up in my place to have a grandma in my life. And she was always there for us. So I just want you guys to put your loving arms around my wife and her family as they're going through this hard time right now. So I will dedicate these shows I've done before in the past to Reverend Clark, and we thank you very much. Who did you have? So, again, Wally, you had him winning it. So the judges were wrong. Point blank, period. Do you take my conspiracy theory of the 10 count? You said you've seen it before. Should it have been with what I'm presenting towards you, not what happened, not what you think would happen, with the case I presented, should that fight have been over at 10 when he got up on the count of 9? And what you've seen in boxing your entire life?
Because I feel like anybody who gets up at that situation, they're groggy. He wasn't groggy. Like, he was good. Like, so that would be my rebuttal to that. Like, he wasn't groggy. He was good.
Jay Chris?
I agree with Wally, and I want to say that I'm gonna address a fight that I think was the first fight on the card earlier in the night with Joe Hanks. Mm-hmm. When he got
that was top two,
and he didn't even get a chance to get to 10.
No, he was on
stumbled
his
a little bit while he was trying to get up, and the referee called it right there. And I thought that was too early, personally. I thought that was
right.
too early.
I thought
if he could have got up and not been wobbling or something like that, if he was able to get up, he should have gave him a chance. It was first round; he should have gave him a chance to get up to his feet. So I think that's what happened in the Fury fight. He gave Fury a chance to get to his feet. He got to his feet. He looked good. He had all his whereabouts about him, and he let the fight continue. So I commend that referee. And I think the first referee, I think, was wrong.
Well, you have it for me. He won this fight. He got robbed. Deontay Wilder now has to fight in the UK probably for round two of this fight. We're not going to see Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder. I don't know if we're not going to get that fight. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Fury gets the winner of the match, of the two, to be honest. I do think they move on, and here's where my speculation in that goes. Because in the post-comp, and you know, three times now since the fight, that was post-fight press conference, and then interviews later, all three times you hear a different statement from one Tyson Fury. In the post-match, immediately after the fight, he said, well, you know, I don't know. I'm going to go back and talk to my team. And, you know, and then they kept asking him. He said, hey, we can do it again. But, you know, then he brought up Anthony Joshua being the scared one of them being the best, too. As in, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And then you had the press conference where he was like, yeah, the second match is going to be good. They didn't talk about when the second match was going to be. They didn't talk about immediately when it was going to happen. And then, you know, so that
that
leads me to believe that we will get Joshua Wilder before we get Fury Joshua, Wilder, too. Wilder?
I don't know. I don't think Joshua's going to take it now. I'll put it that way. I think it'll be on Joshua. I don't think Joshua's going to take it now.
Well, it's always been on Joshua. This fight only happened because Anthony Joshua already ran.
It's going to be even worse. I mean, to be honest with you, like, if Wilder had knocked out Fury, it would have made this fight that much bigger. I mean, it's still going to be a big fight. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying it's not a big fight. But I just think that Anthony Joshua now is going to look at it like, you know what? I can wait it out some more. Like, I don't have to fight.
Don't
now.
Be surprised if we see Luis Ortiz versus Joshua before we see Joshua versus
Yeah,
Anthony
I can see that, too. I mean, the play for Tyson Fury and Joshua is in play right now. I mean, I just think that it's not in demand. It's not for Anthony Joshua, right?
I don't think it's ever been in demand for Wilder, Fury.
Well,
I mean, Wilder, Joshua, other than boxing fans. Like the when I say the man in Wally, I'm talking about from the fans' perspective. And I like something that Deontay Wilder said in the post-fight press conference also when he mentioned towards this is the biggest fight boxing's had since Floyd Mayweather fight because no one knew these guys. And they got them to pay for this fight. They got this fight to be important. And that's all I've been trying to stress all along is like, Cone, we got an American heavyweight champion here, guys, trying to unify these titles.
Let's see how much money it made pay-per-view first. Let's see how much they made actually. Let's see how much they made first. Before we say like, all right, they made right. Let's see how much they made in terms of pay-per-view.
I actually paid for this one. I paid myself.
I sat there.
Look at you guys. Oh, y'all
well,
nice
no, he I was on the fence, right? I probably would have, but I was truly, truly on the fence. Then he texted me and said, yeah, I just ordered. I said, well, damn it, I'm ordering too. You know, like right there. So I was like, mine was cheaper here in Florida than it was in Philadelphia area. So it was cheaper here.
Oh, real. My boy Will pays for pay-per-view fights, and he likes, you know, he likes to watch. He's a big boxer fan. He's a big boxer.
I think I've always told people.
I convinced him not to pay for that. I was like, I'm not paying for this crap. He was like, you know, why do you make a lot of sense?
can I say one more thing about
Tyson
Fury?
He did not pay
that
for
surprised
it.
Me.
I don't think he did. I don't think he paid for it. I'm not sure. I got to talk to him tomorrow. I'll talk to him tomorrow.
I only pay for Floyd. I pay for Floyd, I pay for Johnny Bones Jones, I pay for George St. Spartacus Pierre, and now I pay for Deontay Wilder. I pay for those.
I can't pay for Floyd because Floyd fights cost $2 almost now. Yeah.
I only pay for Mike Tyson.
Now, I did hear, I follow this, this Facebook group, there's like, he has like a Amazon TV, and jailbroke the damn thing. Like, I'm trying to find out what that life's about. Okay, Amazon.
Yeah, I know
about
that. I heard about that.
No, the whole
same
TV,
thing.
Though. Like,
yeah, it's
no,
same
it's
thing.
They
got Amazon TVs out.
Wow,
yeah.
I need to find out what that is. Maybe my LG ain't. Can I jailbreak
like,
LG?
It's just like Roku. It's just like Roku, having a Roku TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
all right,
can
say
I say something about Fury that kind of shocked me? The fact that he lost, over the 3 year time span, he ended up losing 150 something pounds. The way that he looked, you know, like that, the shape that he was in, as far as being able to, the 12, He looked like he had the same bounce in him in the 12th round that he had in the first round.
Yeah, I know.
And I just thought, man, that, you know, this dude is in incredible shape for the size that he is. And we talked about Deontay Wilder's size, him being smaller and all like that. Tyson Fury, as big as he is, 6'9", whatever the heck he is, and 260-something pounds, he had a lot of – you don't see guys that big bouncing. He had bouncing. The only other heavyweight that really got bounced outside Deontay Wilder that you see like that is Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz got a lot of bouncing, too.
Yeah, Ortiz bounced. He does. And I thought that fight is what I thought would have made this – and we saw, honestly, you and I said it. I can't remember, Wilder, your thoughts on that Wilder-Ortiz fight. I thought Wilder was losing that fight before he knocked out Ortiz because of that bounce. I think these fighters who don't give him some kind of fix because he's not a technician like these guys are. He's a brawler. And I don't think I've ever really gone for a brawler. I've been a Holyfield fan, but to me, Holyfield was both. Holyfield could box and he could brawl. That's what I was a big Holyfield fan for. I thought he could do both very well.
I think of brawlers. I think of guys like Joe Frazier, George Foreman was a bit of a brawler because as strong as he was, I'm talking about in his younger days.
But I don't remember ever just waiting for one punch. Like Foreman threw the jab a lot. You know what I mean? Like Foreman threw the jab,
a
lot.
Because he had a strong jab, but it was also a measuring jab too. Because he would throw the jab and come back with the straight.
I think that also. They talked about that during the Keller cast.
You know what? I think when you're that tall and you end up and you fight people that are your height or shorter and you end up all of a sudden fighting somebody bigger than you, I think it'll pose a problem for anybody in any sport, really. Because, he's so tall that, you know, there's not a lot of guys taller than him. And all of a sudden there's a guy taller. He's probably never seen somebody taller than him. Maybe we had to look that up. He's probably never seen somebody taller than him.
Vaughn Jr. 720 on Twitter said Foreman – signature punch was his jab. I have something I want to talk about
now.
We move
on. He knocked Michael Moore out with the cross.
Which
didn't look that strong, by the way. I always thought that was a setup.
It did not look strong at all. It looked weak.
It wasn't worse than 91 seconds. It was not worse than 91 seconds. Mike Tyson never hit Leon Spinks. I don't care. He never hit that thing with a full punch.
He
ain't want
that smoke.
He ain't
want that smoke. He ain't want that smoke.
No, he didn't.
Smoke.
He ain't want none of that.
He ain't want that smoke. He was already scared when he pulled Mike in the ring.
Why you bring up that fight? That fight makes me laugh every time I think about it, man.
Now, why really? Think back to our childhood, right? My uncle Richard would go to Atlantic City because back then it was only closed circuit television. Right? And everybody flocked to Atlantic City for this fight. Everybody went there to go watch it. And I remember the price of it. That might have been the first $100 pay-per-view. It was back in that Tyson Spinks fight. And I'll never forget 91 seconds. And I laughed so hard that everybody spent money on that fight that it lasted 91 seconds. And he never hit him for real. If you knock him out 91 seconds, that's fine. But at least you got to connect. You got to connect with that 91 seconds. Like, damn, Tyson knocked his block off. He never touched him. So that's why I thought that fight was a little shady. A little shady right there.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't shady. It was just the fact that Spinks was scared. He didn't want to get hit.
He was scared.
I don't think he was shady. Spinks was just scared. And why was Michael Spinks part of that heavyweight panel?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. But moving on, guys. Tonight we have the battle of the Beltway, or the 95 Express, the Washington Redskins, Wally Wiles team, taking on the defending Super Bowl champions. Both teams need a win. The Eagles have a little heartbeat, even though Dallas won against New Orleans, shocking the world. Didn't shock my point spread, but shocked the world. I'll give them that. I think they win the match. Win the game. But Washington Redskins are presumably also left for dead, but still have a heartbeat in this game. Four reasons, Wally, why my Philadelphia Eagles will win this game. The interior of the Washington Redskins defensive line is the strength of the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Colt McCoy ain't doing too good. Your receivers, although my DBs are not great, there's no Odell Beckham over there. And since 2013, the Washington Redskins are 1-9 on Monday Night Football. I do think the Skins cover, but I don't think they win tonight, Wally. The Eagles will win this game in a nasty NFC 17-14 ball game. Eagles win.
Yeah, that's a good one. Counter argument. The only reason, well, I will say, I'm not going to say what's going to happen, but I know that for the skin strength and with an Eagle weakness, I think the Eagles average over like four, like the run defense is like average yards per carry. So I'm going to say 4.9 or 4.5. So the Skins will have to, obviously, they'll have to run the football with Adrian Peterson. Don't put it all on Colt McCoy. I think
you need that because fantasy football, you need 60 more points, buddy. That's what you're looking for.
Look, I already know what AP bought. Hey, look, you already know. You already know about that fantasy work.
Tonight, I'm coming back in first place.
That work about to come. They need to rely on Adrian Peterson and the run game. Not just Adrian Peterson, but the run game, and not put that pressure on Colt McCoy. You saw against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, Jay Gruden opened the game up, I believe, with five straight passes. That's not the strength of this team. This team has won games with Alex Smith running the football, playing solid defense and ball control. So if you're going to try to showcase Colt McCoy, Jay Gruden, this team's going to lose. If you try to feature Adrian Peterson, you have a better chance to win.
Wally,
have a career night, really, man. I'm going to be honest with you. If he's able to get past the defensive line, he's going to score. Who's going to tackle him? I know that. I know our secondary ain't going to tackle him. We got to keep him contained, in the backfield. We got to keep him contained at the line of scrimmage. We can't let Colt McCoy's arm beat us, which it shouldn't.
Don't got no arm. Don't worry about it. Don't got no
Our secondary is such Swiss cheese, man. I just don't believe him. I didn't believe in him last year, but, we all know what happened last year. The Eagles really have to buckle down and focus on Adrian Peterson. They got to focus on, the tight end work, which, is the safety net for any quarterback. I think it's going to be a real good game because both teams need to win. The Skins need to win to keep pace. The Eagles need to win to try to make a pace because right now they're sitting behind Carolina and Minnesota. And Washington, because Washington is playoff starter. They Washington's in, and Carolina and Minnesota are ahead of the Eagles. So really, if they win it today, Washington backs. I think Minnesota gets
in. Well, Carolina losing helps the Eagles.
Yeah, it definitely helps the Eagles, but the Eagles losing to Carolina don't help at all. So Minnesota and Carolina both have the tiebreaker against the Eagles. So the Eagles really need to win out. Honestly,
they need to win this game, and they need to win every game. But they can only afford one more loss. Technically, financially speaking,
right,
or the numbers count.
Right.
Anthony King Vaughn Jr. 720 in the Twitter's comment about the Captain Marvel trailer at halftime. No, my brother, it already came out. Check my wall. I already shared it. The Captain Marvel trailer.
Yeah, I watched it this morning. Well, he said. I saw he said there's going to be another trailer at halftime.
No, the trailer two was supposed to come out today at halftime, but it came out before halftime. So. It already leaked.
I don't know which one I saw. I saw some trailer today, but I don't know.
No, the trailer today, when they showed her with her powers at the end, kind of looking like the Phoenix, that's the new trailer. The trailer before never showed her communicating one-on-one with Nick Fury also. So if that's the one you saw, then that's the new one.
I saw the one with Nick Fury in it.
Everybody right now is wondering when this Avengers trailer is coming out, and I'm just like, okay. Well, I don't want to see the Avengers trailer right now, but it's going to come out in March. Give me a break. But tonight, Wally, Jake, Wally, I know you got the Redskins winning. Give me a score.
Where's Red T? Need my
mumbo
sauce bet.
I got the Skins win. It's going to be close, super close. 2017. Win a game, win a field goal.
7-10? I'm sorry.
17.
Oh, okay.
20-17.
20-17 Skins. How you got this going, Jay Chris?
I think I got it. I think I got this one going a little higher. I think 37-32. Skins.
I like watching this defense. I'm sorry. Eagles have a breakout game, and Carson Wentz has not had a bad season. I do like watching defense. My thing is when you have a team on Monday Night Football. You have a team with a backup quarterback. I just think this is all for the Eagles. Even King Vaughn says Eagles by three tonight. And this is, you know, on paper, as a fan, I need my team to win this game. But just even batting-wise, I take Washington to cover. I don't see a high score in this one. I just can't see the defense is doing it.
What could happen?
I don't see the defense stopping anybody.
It could definitely happen.
Of course it can happen. Look what happened with 14. And it's going to be some scores today, too. Let me go forward with the scores and go to the best of the weekend before we get out of here because Jay Chris has to leave early.
Let me mention something real quick, Mike.
Yeah.
On the show last week, you picked – I think you picked Carolina, but on your paper, I think you picked Tampa Bay.
Yeah, because I was confused live on air. So you and I both
picked Tampa Bay because I always said
that
what you know is what you can prove, right?
It's upset of the week. Okay. So, well, hold on. You got to give yourself one. Okay, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Give yourself one.
Y'all funny.
I get that. That's a very hard week right there. I also had –
You know, I never pick against Carolina. I don't know what they do.
I had Denver over
Cincinnati. They better leave Jameis alone now.
Jameson ain't going nowhere. He apologized. He paid for money. Question, guys. Now, the Kareem Hunt news has been the big thing of the weekend.
Let us off going into the release of Kareem Hunt,
followed by the release last week of the San Francisco 49ers and Reuben Foster, which was picked up by the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
This was not a domestic dispute. However, I watched the video. I wish we can get some audio on these videos. I don't think no man should ever go after a woman the way we saw him going after a woman. I would say forever and a day. Man can always dominate a woman 99.9 times out of 10 in an altercation, physical altercation. You know, unless you got Baby D going against, you know, Micah or somebody like that, it's not going to happen. So him being so aggressive at her in the video, I was annoyed by that. I was like, damn, what could she have possibly said outside the N-word? And if she did, she's a female. You know what I mean? Cuss her out. Time to get my girls to whoop your butt or something. But, you know, he went after her like he was trying to really, you know, mess her up.
She's 19. She's 19. That kid, she's 19.
You see the push from the corridor. You couldn't see what was going on. They were trying to hold him back. You see a guy and her go flying. Then you see another guy come up. Some other girl was videotaping it with her phone. See him come up and take the phone from her. And then you see the kick. Now, at first, I thought the kick was like a punt kick. It was more like a get-out-of-my-face kind of kick. He didn't, like, kick her with the intent to hurt her on that moment. He just kicked her like, you know, you trash kind of a kick. Not condoning anything.
Yeah, but
I still think a man and a woman belongs to the all punk team, and right now he's on that team. Should this have cost him his job? I ask you that question, gentlemen.
I think you go first.
Well, I was going to answer that question with a question, because I did not see the video. I still haven't watched the video. Did he hit her?
He pushed her. He pushed her.
Uh-huh.
Shoved her like him and her. He shoved a guy and a girl at the same time, and then he walked
up and he
proceeded to kick. But again, I emphasize it wasn't a kick like. He's running to kick her to knock her teeth out.
He didn't bust in a whole head kick. It was like a mush kick.
This is the thing.
Like, if it was in a scuffle, then it wouldn't look as bad. But she was already down. He walked up and kicked her. That's what made it look
worse. So the kick was unnecessary.
The whole thing was unnecessary, but the kick itself was extra unnecessary.
The whole thing was unnecessary,
absolutely. But I mean, if you want to make an argument, you know what I mean? If there was an argument to be made, right? To say like, all right, the kick, there's no argument about, you can't argue for the kick at all, period. Because it was so isolated. Like she was down, he walked up, kicked her. Regardless if it was a soft kick, it was like, do walk away. Like that's what I'm saying, that's walk away. Like there
right,
was,
he
there
had
was,
the opportunity
you know,
to walk
happened.
To walk away from the situation
easily,
and then decide to go back
that girl
and kick.
Was just, that girl was laying down when not like laying down on the floor. Like he walked up and kicked her. Like he ain't had to do that. You know what I'm saying? And then you gotta learn, like this is what I'm saying, you gotta learn as an athlete, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what she could have said to you regardless, bro, but as an athlete you gotta walk away from that situation, period.
Right.
Like the push would have been cool. Like to be honest with you, he could have been cool with just the push. I know that sounds jacked up to say, but he's been cool with just the push.
No.
But
you're right. At that point, he get out my face, sir.
That kick is what
get out. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
It definitely
was
unknown.
For him, for him to lose his job. Like for him to be cut. I'm all about getting a person a second chance. So I'm never into this whole like just because this one situation like this person's the end all be like he's the most evil person out there in the world. But in the climate space in NFL, yeah, he should have lost his job, but he should still be able to get a job. Put it that way. Like I don't look at him like all right, he shouldn't get a job anymore. Like he should be
Eagles
still
pick
be
him up next year.
Running back.
Eagles pick him up when he clears waivers.
Yeah.
Pull up the Eagles to Kareem Hunt.
I'm a big believer. Like we're getting to this place in the society where we just like demonize everybody for making a mistake and thinking that's it. You know what I mean? My belief is this, and I've said this, and people are going to be hypocritical. If it ain't impacted me personally, like this person impacted me personally, then I believe that person should get a second chance. If that person impacted me personally, I can believe anything I want to believe. You know what I'm saying? Like I can say like, hey, this person don't deserve crap from me. You know what I mean? That's impacted me personally. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't know this individual. And this like this thing that happened to you personally, and give this person a second chance. Like, what's this whole thing about? All right, because he's made this mistake. This is the definition of this person. You dig what I'm saying? Like, this is not the definition of Kareem Hunt. You don't know. We've heard so many stories of people who changed their lives. Period.
Did he beat
Chris,
the girl
did he fired?
No, he.
Did
I mean,
he, beat the girl
he just pushed her and then he kicked her.
He kicked her.
No punches.
All right, and you're saying the kick is not that. Okay, all right. Like I said, I haven't seen the video, but from what you guys are saying to me, should he have lost his job? No. Should he be suspended? Yes, because you don't put your hands on the female. Or you don't put your feet on the female. And from what you're saying, that he could have walked away without doing anything with his feet. that's borderline losing your job type stuff.
It's,
now, you know, it makes me sound like, you know, he, you know, like, I'm condoning what he did. I absolutely do not condone what he did, and from what I'm hearing, he did. But
yeah, I'm not condoning
like
that
Ray
also.
Rice,
that, you know,
Ray
that
Rice
we're not at Golden Sports condoning what Kareem Hunt did whatsoever. I'm not doing that because
the
punch is not.
Ray,
I still don't think you put your hands. I don't think a man should lose his livelihood. You know, if he didn't, you know, he didn't for what it's worth, he didn't Ray Rice her. You know,
right.
Where
Ray Rice deserved to lose his job.
Beating up.
And the only reason Ray Rice lost his job is because there's video. The only reason that this Kareem Hunt situation is what it is because there's video. So we got to understand video makes things a lot worse than what they could, you know, when there's not video, you can always have benefit of the doubt. You see, in this video, I haven't seen the video before, but you're saying the video is not. I guess when we hear about this, we at this point automatically our minds go to Ray Rice. You know what I mean? And then when we see the – and then there's video to like – to, you know, I guess I can't – I'm having a brain fart. But there's video there to let us know what actually happened. So when Ray Rice did what he did, if we hear about people doing stuff at home that we don't see video of, but our minds automatically go to the Ray Rice video. And this is probably how it went down. This video, I really have to see this video to give my true judgment, but from what you guys are telling me, losing your job, maybe not, but suspension, absolutely.
All right, let's
and
get
from
out
what
of
I
here
read,
with
I,
this.
From what I read, right, I read, she did say the N-word, from what I read.
So that's what I want to hear. But again, even, that, even in that position, I'm with Wally, the push was enough. And I'm not saying he should have pushed her either, you know, but... I don't see her anyway. Him, you know, I don't think he should have put his hands on her at all. You know, so what? She's a 19-year-old female. Move on. But best and worst of the weekend, fellas. Let's get it. Best of the weekend for me was boxing being back in the forefront of sports talk. To be honest, it's been a very, very long time. Worst of the weekend for me was the performance that Tiondi Wilder gave us as a boxing fan, as a fan of his. Just watching it, I felt like even watching the fight, I was actually getting mad that I paid for the pay per view because I paid to see him win. So I was a little disappointed in the performance. I still take with a grain of salt that any other time I saw a knockout like that, a knockdown like that, the fight would have been over. Jay Chris, best and worst of the weekend.
Well, I already told you my worst of the weekend is this ankle tendonitis I'm dealing with, man. This stuff, tendonitis is the worst. If you ever had to deal with it, oh, my God, it's terrible.
It's bad.
The best of the weekend would probably be the entire pay-per-view. We had 3 out of 4 knockouts, stoppages on the pay-per-view. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, you got an undercard just what you wanted to see in the undercard. Early stoppage, except for the well, one of the fights went to the final round, but ended in the final round, I believe.
Yeah, he knocked him out in the last round. It was
Heard. Knocked him out in the last round. But, you know, you got pretty much what you want to see. You want the early fight to end early, and you want the main event to satisfy the palate. So that's what we got from that pay-per-view. You know, that was my best of the weekend, especially since I really ain't watched nothing else.
King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter said best of the weekend for him was Creed 2, and the worst was the Steelers losing. Get that? You're a Cowboy fan. I'm lost. But, okay, respect work to the weekend, Wally. Wow. Get us out of here, man.
Shout out Charlo Hurd, man. I want to see that work. I'd say best of the weekend had to be my Lakers keep balling, man. LeBron, man, keep doing it, my man. You know what I'm saying? L.A., man. It's all about L.A. time. And also, worst of the weekend, I'm with Mike. It had to be Deontay Wilder losing to, drawing with Tyson Fury because that ruined my whole, you know, Anthony Joshua being Deontay Wilder pretty soon, so I wanted that to happen like ASAP. But now I gotta wait. Now I gotta wait on that joint. You know what I'm saying? Nigerian boy in the
building. Ashamed of yourself.
You know what I'm saying?
He just said he was Nigerian and he ain't going for him. He said,
you know,
Deontay Wilder came out and said that he is 55% Nigerian on Friday. You still won't support this man. I'm telling you, Deontay Wilder said it. That's what he said. I'm just saying what the man said.
Well,
in the interview.
He all the way Nigerian, like my man, like Anthony Joshua. He's Nigerian, was born in London. Hey, man, like I said, man, hey, Deontay, I still love you, bro. You gotta take that L to my man, Anthony Joshua.
Do not Life wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me to me, and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. We'll see you on Friday. Peace.
This is the Soul in Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radio